Welcome to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth with Pastor Michael Harris of Unity of the Faith Ministries. Today's message is entitled, Time to Stand. Get your Bible, get your pen and paper ready to take notes as you listen to this dynamic and life-changing message.
We want to talk about, from the subject, it's time to stand. Hallelujah. It's simply time to stand. Amen. We're going to be coming from 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, and also 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. Let's start in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. If you would go to that, beginning at the first verse, how many of you believe the Word of God? I mean, really. I mean, that's I'm not asking you that just to be asking a question, but the whole basis of what we're going to talk about hinges on whether or not you really do believe the word of the Lord is true. How many of you believe that God is able to perform whatever it is he declares? I mean, do you really, really believe that he can do that? If he said it, he's able to do it. And amen? And now here's the real, real tough question. How many of you are willing to stand on it? See, it's one thing to say that. It's one thing to make this declaration about, oh, I believe God. A lot of people do that. But where we seem to fall short is when it's time to stand on it. When we preach about the Word of God, and I'm talking about ministers as well, it's really easy for us to stand here and to preach the Word of God. We study the word. We know what the word says. We really do. We say we really do believe the word. We really trust that God is able to do what he says he's going to do. And we know his word is true. But the real test comes when it's time to stand on it. When you're finished preaching, when you're finished teaching, when you're finished talking to your friends and holding them up, when you get off the phone just praying for your neighbor, or just praying for your sister or your brother, telling them to hold on, when all of that is done, the question is when it's time for you to hold on, are you willing to stand on that word? Saints, it's time for us to stand. We've preached long enough. We've counseled one another. Now it's time for us to stand. We want to talk today about, just give you a little bit of this description. Look at Elijah. I want to use him as an example because I believe that Elijah gives us a really good picture of what to do and what not to do in terms of standing. We want to see something here in terms of his life. Now, first of all, I want you to understand that Elijah was one of the greatest prophets that God has ever placed on the earth. Elijah did some miraculous things through the power of God. Amen. We know this. Elijah was something else. He knew the word. He believed God. And when he spoke, God honored his word. But the question then becomes, was he able to stand? Can we learn something from his life when it came time for him to stand? 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. Listen to this. Begin at the first through the fourth verse.
And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.
So we see here in the scriptures where Elijah did perform a miracle. That just before this, just to give you some background, we have to understand this. Elijah performed this miracle where he came to Ahab and said, listen here, it's not going to rain till I say so. That's bold. Now you'll find that God honored that simply because he said it. He used that gift and he said, I don't care what happened, but until I say it's going to rain, not when God says, not thus saith the Lord God Almighty. He says it, to come and tell you it won't rain. No, that's not what he said. He went up to Ahab and he said, because of your wickedness, I'm telling you what, it's not going to rain till I say so. You can pray all you want. Immediately after that, what did he do? God called him away and said, you better get up out of there. You better go find you someplace to hide. And he left. 3 years later. Now you gotta listen to this story. You gotta understand Elijah. I really want you to understand him and his life and see where he stood and where he didn't stand and see what we can learn here. But Elijah gave this big proclamation and said, it won't rain until I say so. And then he left and he was called away and he found himself in this is the 18th chapter, where he found himself running from the Lord, running from Ahab. And then he came back. And then he performed this great miracle fighting with the prophets of Baal. And then he ended up running again. Amen. Now let's look and see what happened in this second time when he comes back and he is challenging the prophets of Baal. And he says in the 9th verse, go ahead and read.
And it came thither unto a cave, and he came there unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus.
Hold there a minute. Let's hold that, and let's go back and look at the history. Go back into the 18th chapter. We're going to come back to that, because there's some things that I want you to see there. But hold that, and go to the 18th chapter. Now, first of all, let me read one scripture. You don't have to go to this one, but 1 Kings 17:1, this is what Elijah said. Elijah said to King Ahab, as the Lord of God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. First of all, we want to recognize that Elijah acknowledged the fact that he stands before God. Not before them, but before God. He said, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. This is his big proclamation initially to the king Ahab. Where Ahab, remember, was married to Jezebel, who was really controlling things. That's a whole nother story. Amen. But go to 1 Kings 18, read verse 1.
1 Kings 18:1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth.
Okay, so after he makes this big proclamation and says it's not going to rain till I say so, he then goes away, and 3 years later, God tells him, okay, it's time. That's enough, Elijah. Go on back there and tell them that I'm going to send the rain. But he had to go show himself to the same man who's been looking for him to kill him. So he's got to now it's one thing to make this big proclamation, then run somewhere and hide, you know, to go. And God told the ravens to feed him. God told everybody he was being taken care of. But he made this big thing and said, it's not going to rain till I say so. Then he runs away. 3 years, these people were in misery. And you can imagine what the king was thinking. If I ever find that joker. If I ever find him. So he goes away. But now God says, okay, that's enough. Now I want you to go back and go find that man and stand before him and tell him I'm going to send the rain. If he could even get the first word out of his mouth as we're going to his mouth, you know, I'm coming to bring you some good news if you would do what God says. But, you know, sometimes we have to go before the same people that we feared and we've been running away from. God's going to make you stand before the same people that have been putting you down, that have been causing you to hide. God's going to make you stand up before them. But see, it's not enough to just preach to them. It's not enough to just tell them what thus saith the Lord. You yet got to stand even when they're rejecting you. That's the hard part. Oh, it's easy for me to stand up. But if one of you stood up and said, I don't believe a word you say. You're a hypocrite. You're one of those preachers that just want money. I still got to stand up before you and speak what thus saith the Lord. And then in the time when it's my turn to stand, I've got to be able to hold to the same word that I'm giving to you. So we've got Elijah had to go before these same people, and he had to stand before this man that was attempting to kill him. Seventh verse.
And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here.
Now, Obadiah was served under the king Ahab, the governor under the king Ahab, and he remembered what happened with Elijah when he made that big statement about it not raining and then left, and he said God called him away. All he know in his mind is this joker left. He brought some trouble and then he left. Now he wants me to go to the king and tell the king that he's here. Now, if you tell me to do that and then I go and tell the king you're here and then you go run again, I don't care if God called you or whatever, I'm going to be left holding the bag. And so he didn't really want to do it, but he went, and Elijah convinced him, I'm not going anywhere. I'm doing what God told me to do. And so he went and he told him, told the king that Elijah was there. Point number one. First of all, I want you to recognize that Elijah had a history of running away. This is in the mind of Obadiah. He had a history of running away. Obadiah was afraid to tell the king because he thought Elijah would be called away by the Lord. Amen. Second thing, go to 13th verse. Now listen to this.
Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water?
Point number two, Elijah knew that he was not the only one. Now remember what we read. When God asked him why you're here, what did he say? I'm here because they torn down your altars. They done did all this. Israel's doing this. And they killed all of the prophets. And I'm the only one left. Now, we went back in the history. When he met Obadiah, we found out right there that if he didn't know, Obadiah already told him then. So now you know. I have 50 people. So we know there's at least 50 more prophets somewhere here. How many of us have thought we're the only one? Whatever it is we're going through, nobody else has ever gone through it before. I'm the only one holding up the bloodstained banner of God. The problems that I'm going through are so great that nobody else really would have the strength, and so God had to put me through it for the world. I don't know nobody but Jesus that have done that. God has not required that of anybody else but Jesus. But yet, sometimes we look at our situations and we think we're the only ones. And so we know that Elijah knew it. Before he ever made that statement, he knew there's at least 50. 17th verse.
And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel?
Three.
And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam.
Mm-hmm.
Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word.
So here is the story where Elijah comes back after 3 years. And he finally sees the king. He stands before the king. And he challenges them because they're serving Baal. And he's saying, this is what God is saying. He's tired of it. If God, and he stood before the people and said, listen here, y'all. Make up your mind. If God be God, follow him. If he's not God, then you find you a God and you follow them. It's time out for double-minded Christians that don't know whether they can stand or not. It's time out for us making the decision of trying to make up in our minds whether God is on our side. God has not done all of these miracles, all of these things that brought you out of all of this just to leave you where you are.
All right.
The old folks used to say, he brought me this far. He ain't leaving me yet. And we think that God has abandoned us in the middle of our journey, in the middle of our trial. God wants us to just make up our mind. Either you're going to follow me or you're not. Either you're going to stand or you're not. Are we ready to stand on what God has said? Or is it just in the good times? Is it just in those times where we're up on the mountaintops that we're able to stand? But when the time comes to apply the word, are we really ready to stand? If God be God, then stand. And so Elijah challenged the prophets, and we don't have to go through the entire story, but you remember where he stood up on the mountain and he told the prophets, go ahead, y'all build your altar, and y'all call your gods, and I'll call my God. And we're going to find out today who really is God. And he took the altar and he asked them to go ahead and call their gods and throw fire on it and all of this stuff. And he said, if your God comes down and consumes it, then he's God, and I'll humble myself before him. Well, they prayed and prayed, and ain't nothing happened. They had all kinds of wood out there. They had everything. And the only thing he said that you can't put on there is the fire, because God's going to supply that. You're God. And they didn't do it. And he went from day until night, and then he began to mock them. Well, you know what? Maybe your God is a little hard of hearing. You know, sometimes gods get busy. You know, they got a whole lot of people they have to serve. You know, they got a whole world to take care of. So maybe if you scream a little louder, how many understand that? How many of us have attempted to try to find God by just yelling a little bit louder? Hallelujah. We're in a time of real need, and we have ignored God all of this time. But then when the fire really falls and the time when it comes when we really need God desperately, right then you begin to pray and you really don't feel it going anywhere. But you think, well, let me just cry a little louder. Well, the prophets here attempted to cry louder. They yelled and it still didn't work. Then what did Elijah do? He built up the same altars that they tore down. He put a trench around it, soaked it with water, did everything you could to stop a fire. And then he called on God. Go down to 36th verse.
And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came there and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God.
And so after he made this big proclamation, he called on God, and God came and he consumed the offering. Here we see where he challenges the prophets of Baal, and he wins this big challenge. What happens after he does that? He runs. If Jezebel now gets into the picture, this is where we're going to see him. Jezebel then finds out what he did. Somebody, Ahab goes back. Boy, that's a wimp. Ahab goes back and says, Jezebel, you know what he did? All our prophets are dead. He went and killed all of our prophets. And Jezebel goes back and says, I tell you what, before this time tomorrow, God do to me, if I don't kill you just like you killed those prophets by this time tomorrow. Now it's time for him to stand. It's time for him to say, now God sent him. God sent some of us, and he tells us, I want you to do this. I want you to stand before the people, and I want you to preach the word. Now wait for the repercussions. When it's not that easy anymore. And he says, okay, I'm telling you what God says, and thus saith the Lord. And you know how we get sometimes, you go into hell, and this is what God tells you to do. But when the time gets hard, he ran. Elijah left. And let's go back to the 19th chapter. And this is where this becomes interesting. This is what Elijah did. First of all, Elijah went with his servant to went out of the city, left him, went up under the juniper tree, left his servant, and then ran even further and went into a cave. In the 9th verse, he said, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, Elijah, what you doing here? What did Elijah say? What is our excuse when we don't stand when we should be standing? We find excuses, don't we? Well, this is what Elijah said. Elijah said, oh, Lord, I've been so jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I'm the only one that is standing. And guess what, God? They even want to kill me. You know what? God, first of all, didn't even respond when he first asked him where he was. God told him, look here, this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand up. Go get up. Get up. Go up on this mountain. I want to show you something. And this is what God showed him. God showed him the wind. God showed him an earthquake. And God showed him a fire. But God was not in any of those places. Why are you still here, Elijah? He gave him one more opportunity to say the right thing. He gave him one more opportunity to understand what he was trying to tell him. God does the same thing with some of us. We get in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our trials and our tribulations. And then God comes to us and God says, what are you doing here? And we find an excuse. Elijah just said, you know, they trying to kill me. That's what I'm doing here. He said, no. You didn't understand that. You missed it. Come here. Stand up. I want you to get up on this mountain so you can see clearly. Maybe you'll understand. And he shows him the fire and the wind and the earthquake and all of these things. And yet the scripture says he wasn't in there. How many of us are in the middle of our problems and God and I'm left? God has already delivered you. God said that was yesterday's battle, and you still sitting. What are you still doing there? He showed him the wind, and God had this wind to come by. Now, one thing that you need to recognize is that the scripture says, and he passed by. So God was there. God was with you when you went through that problem, when you went through that storm. He was there, but God had already gone. He has passed by. So why are you still there? Why are you still in the pits? Why are you still with your head hung down? Why do you still think you're defeated? God is already gone. And so he showed him all of these things and he said, Elijah, why are you here? He just repeated the same question. God is doing the same thing with us. Every time we give God an excuse for why we can't stand, God sometimes just ignores us and says, look, you didn't quite see it. Let me remind you about the problems that you went through. And sometimes God has got to remind us by bringing us back through it. See, a lot of us have to go around a problem a few times before we recognize the fact that God has already delivered us. And when we're in the midst of the problem, when we're calling God and we can't find God, God is saying, I've already passed by. You're already delivered. But you're the one sitting here. You're still sitting in this problem. You're still in the storm when I've already left. And he said, Elijah, I'm going to give you one more chance to understand what I'm trying to say. Elijah, why are you here?